We continue our learning. We're in Ksuvos, Parakei, Mishnah Dalet. By way of introduction, we need to speak about the relationship between the mizonos that the husband gives the wife and the Maisa Yadayim, the earnings that go to him in exchange for that. So the Gemara has a machlokes, whether we view the mizonos as the ikar, meaning really the Torah wants the husband to give him mizonos. But the Chachamim instituted that because he's following that halacha to give her mizonos, her earnings should go to him. Or is it the other way? Really, the Maisei Yadayim, that's the Iker. Those go to the husband. And then in exchange, because she's giving all our earnings to the husband, the least he can do is give her mizonos. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that mizonos is the Iker. In fact, it's based on the Pasuk. She'era k'susa va'onasa lo yigra. Pasuk ha'pashas rishpatim. She'era is a reference to mizonos that a husband has to give his wife. And k'susa is clothing. And onasa is matter relations. So she'era, it's a Pasuk. So therefore, if the Torah says you have to give mizonos, that's the ikar. What's the Maisei Yadayim in exchange? That's the Chachamim made a takana that the Maisei Yadayim should be tachas in place of the mizonos. That's the exchange. That's what he gets because he's giving her mizonos. Now, there is a specific amount, though, that Maisei Yadayim, that per week that woman is supposed to produce in exchange for the mizonos. That's found in Mishnah Tes in this parak. Yeah, the Mishnah says, Umahi Osolo, I'm quoting from Mishnah Test, Mishkal Chamesh Slaim Shesi Bihuda. It's a 5 sela weight, 5 selas of coins, but 5 sela weight of thread in Yehuda, which is Eser Slaim and Galil. But we'll get there. The point is that we're speaking about thread, and Shesi are the vertical threads that we put on the loom. So we'll see different than the Erev threads that we put on the loom. But that's the amount of weight of thread that she's supposed to produce for him. 5 sela worth of that thread, of Shesi, of vertical thread per week. And that's in Yehuda. So that's the minimum. But she could make more. What if there's what we call Mosar, there's excess, there's surplus. So that's what we call Mosar Maisei Yadeha. And who does that belong to? She makes extra more than she needs to. So there, the Gemara says that also goes to the husband. But that's because the husband gives her something else other than mizonos too. Besides food, the husband gives her a ma'a kesef, which the Mishnah also speaks about there, an extra ma'a, 6 ma'a to a dinar, which is 1/24 of a sela. A ma'a is 1/24 of a sela. So he gives her a ma'a kesef for spending money during the week besides food. She has an extra silver coin, a ma'a kesef, for spending money. In exchange for that, which the husband gives her a ma'a kesef, she gives him the mosar, the surplus of her maisei yadayim. So based on that, we'll understand the Mishnah a little bit better. One other point is, because the mizonos is the ikar, the woman could say, listen, I know you're obligated to give me mizonos food, but you know what? I make so much money in my job. Why would I want to get my salaries much better than yours? So how about this? You keep your mizonos and I'll keep my maisei yadayim. So that works. We say a woman can say, eini mizonos ve'eini osa. I'm not taking your mizonos and I'm not giving you maisei yadayim. She has every right to do that, to be mevatar on her mizonos, and the maisei yadayim belong to her. Our Mishnah says the following, Perakei Mishnah Dalet. Hamaktish Maisei Yadayishto. The husband says the Maisei Yadayim of the earnings of my wife are Hektish. Question is, does he have the right to do that? Is it even his? Has it even come into existence just yet? So the Mishnah here says, Harei Zo Osav Ocheles. The wife can make her earnings and use them for herself. Now, why is she using their, forget the Hektish for a moment. Why is she using the earnings for herself? So the answer is, because we're talking about a case where she said, Eini mizonos ve'eini osa. I don't need your mizonos, she tells her husband. And therefore, my earnings are not going to you, they're going to belong to me. And therefore, she can do with them what she likes. And she consumes, buys her own food. And obviously, the Maisei Yadayim are not in the reshus of the husband to be makdish. So that's all true regarding him being makdish, the Maisei Yadayishto. What about Hamosar? What about the excess? What about the surplus? Where we said that is something that the husband gets because he gives her a ma'a kesef per week. So the Gemara says, So before we look at the machlokes of whether or not the most of the excess, the surplus of Maisa Yadayim, he has the right to be makdish or not, the Gemara says we're talking about a case where he's giving her mazonos, but he's not giving her that ma kesef for her extra spending money. Well, if that's the case, the mosar, even the excess of Maisa Yadayim, belong to her and don't belong to the husband. And if therefore the husband says, the Mosa Maisa Yadayim of my wife should be Kodesh, so maybe in her lifetime, it's true the Mosa therefore could not be Kadosh, because they're not in his Rishus, because he's not giving her a Ma'a Kesef, but after she passes away and he's Yoresh HaNechasim, so then the Mosa Maisa Yadayim, in fact, are part of the Rusha, belong to him. The only thing is, at this point, they do not, because he's not giving her a Ma'a Kesef. So the question is, does he have the right even to be Makdish, something that's not his right now? Rabbi Meir Omer, Hekdesh, yes. The Moser that falls to him be Yerusha from his wife, and if his wife passes away, that excess, that surplus of the Maisa Yadayim, which was not his when she was alive because he wasn't giving her a Ma'a Kesef, but now that it falls to him be Yerusha, it is Hekdesh. Based on the words that he said when she was alive, and he was makdish them. Aye, what do you mean? They weren't his at that time. The answer is, Rabbi Meir holds, Adam makdish davar shelo b'olam, Rabbi Meir's famous opinion. Even though at the time that the husband was makdish, the moser maisa yadayim, it was shelo b'olam, it didn't exist. It certainly wasn't his at that point. So there, nonetheless, Rabbi Meir says, hekdesh's chalf takes effect on it. Rabbi Yochanan Asan Omer no chulin, the mosar, the excess, the surplus of the Maisa Yadayim, which is an exchange to the Ma'a Kesef that he never gave her, that now falls to him be Yerusha, is chulin, it's not hekdesh, because he holds a person cannot be makdish a davar shelo b'olam. And therefore, that's the basis of the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yochanan Hasanur. Perek, hey, Mishnah, hey, Elu Malacho Sha'isha Osa Labala. So there are obligations a woman has, tasks a woman has to perform for her husband. And the Gemara points out that there may be other smaller tasks that she is obligated to do, even if she brings in enough shvachos, as we see, enough maidservants to take care of the larger, major seven malachos, seven tasks, as we'll see in a moment. Eilu malachos sheisha osa labala. What does she have to do for the husband in the house? Tochenes. She is obligated to do the grinding, whether it's using a mill, a hand mill, or she prepares everything so that it's done with the regular mill. Of the ofes, has to do the baking, and she does the laundry. Mivashel, those are three things so far. Mivashel, if she does the cooking. Uminika espina, she nurses the child, but it's his child. She doesn't have to nurse a child that's not hers. Mataslo hamita, she prepares the bed with the pillows, cushions, sheets, etc. Vaosa batsemer, and the seventh of the tasks is she has to produce with wool, and we mentioned that already, how much she has to produce. We'll discuss that in Mishnah test. What about hechnisa lo shifcha achas? Let's say she brings in a maidservant from her father's house, or let's say she has a dowry from her father's house that allows her to spend some money to invest in having a shifcha. So then the first three tasks that go are lo tochenes, velo ofa, velo mechabeses. She does not have to do these malachos, which involve a great amount of tircha. The shifcha can do them. So that's, you have one shifcha, so that is going to be sufficient. Shtayim, let's say she brings in two shvachos, so then not only does she not have to do the grinding, the baking, and the laundry, but enam eveshelis, enam enikas bina. The next two tasks she doesn't have to do. She doesn't have to do the cooking, and she doesn't have to nurse the child, assuming the shifcha is capable of doing the nursing. The shifcha does the nursing. Shalosh, let's say she brings in three shvachos. So those last two of the seven, she also doesn't have to do. She doesn't have to prepare to make the bed, and she doesn't have to produce the wool. But the little types of malachos she still has to do. Different opinions what those are, but the idea is that any malachos that are that certainly all have to do with affection, with related to the husband. So let's say pouring him wine, diluting the wine, as we say, pouring him wine, or maybe spreading the sheets on the bed, even though she's not making the full bed. So those are based on affection. Those are things that she always has to do. There may be other malachos, malachos kitanos, that she still has to do at this stage after three shvachos. Maybe she runs certain errands, has to bring things from room to room, and things like that. What about arba? What about four shvachos? Then yosheves b'katedra. Then she can sit on an easy chair, on a chashuva seat, meaning even the malachos kitanos of running certain errands, moving things from one place to the other, she will not have to do. But as we said, anything that's mishum chiba, like pouring him a cup of wine, that's something the Gemara says, adav savach aleph man aleph, she still has to do. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, hafilu hichnisa lo mea shvachos, Kofa lasos but seven. So he disagrees with the Tanakama. Tanakama says that seventh malacha, once you have three shvachos, she doesn't have to do. Rabbi Ezra says, no, even if you have 100 shvachos, she has to do work produced with wool, so she doesn't sit around doing nothing. Why? Shaha batala mevia lidi zima. Because batala, just sitting around idly, brings her to promiscuous activity, to preach us. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, af hamadiris ishto milasos malacha. Even a man who makes a neder that his wife can't do malacha, he can't get hana from her malacha, so yotzi vitein ksuva. You have to then divorce her. Why? I thought the wife doesn't, it's okay if she doesn't do malacha for him. No, because shahabatala mevia de lishiyamum, because sitting around idly will make her go insane. So sounds like Rami Eliezer and Shimon Gamliel basically saying the same thing. You know, what's the difference is whether you bring in many shvachos or you may take an ed. The bottom line is where it sounds like both are concerned with batala sitting around, and therefore the woman has to do some malacha, and therefore he can't be madir your wife not doing any malacha at all because certain things you have to do. So is it batzemer or not batzemer? So what exactly is the difference here? The concern, one is zima, one is shiyamum. So the Gemara says, let's say she can keep herself busy playing certain games. So she's not really doing any malacha, anything that's really productive, but she keeps herself busy playing checkers, playing chess, playing certain games. So according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, we say, well, you know, she's not going to go insane, batala mevia lidi shiyamum, because she keeps herself busy. But nonetheless, even if you're engaged in those kinds of games, it may bring you lidei zima, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer would hold that she still has to work with producing wool, so she avoids promiscuous activity.